In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
What is happening, family? Welcome to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Before we get started with this Compton Menace interview, I just wanted to chop it up real quick with my homeboy, Gorilla Black. Let you guys know that he is now officially a part of the Digital Soapbox family. What's up with you, Black?
Man, what's going on with it still?
Oh, man, just ready to get this amazing stuff started, man, that me and you got going on, man, that we're going to unleash to the world real soon, man.
Man, it's definitely, man, going to be epic, man. This is going to take things to a whole nother level and shed light and ways, man. A lot of cats previously didn't even have an understanding of it. It's just a beautiful thing, man, that, you know, me and you to sit down, man, and come together, man, and be able to shed light for a lot of cats, man, so that they could have a different level of looking at the world and looking at things around them, man, on so many different assets and facets, man, you know?
Yeah, without a doubt, man, you know, and you coming home, man, after 10 years, man, and, you know, the federal prison system, man, it definitely has opened your mind up to a whole nother different level of thinking.
Yeah, man, I mean, being there, man, was a terrible thing. Because of all of the different things that I had to, you know, struggle with being away from my family and my loved ones and losing my liberty. But being there was a watershed moment for me. It was an aha moment due to the fact that I was able to open my mind to something that was different and previously hidden from me on so many different levels of understanding on worldviews and literature and philosophy and religion and, you know, all of those things, man, that previously I never made time for, or I never just gave my fully, you know, attention to, just never just sat myself down and just opened my mind up to something different. I was just so used to being in a one way, one set mind frame for so long. So to be able to do something just totally different, man. Just sit down and study and read and be around different dudes, you know, that have a different type of way of thinking about things. And, you know, so that just really just put me in a whole different mental space. And me coming home, just now my mind is open to so many different things on so many different levels. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, the biggest thing is right now, what we have going on, as good as the internet is for most things, man, it's a really tool of distraction if you allow it to be.
Yeah, it definitely could be a tool of distraction, man. I mean, so many people, man, are just inundated with so much stuff that's going on right now. When you're looking at all of the social media sites, whether it be Facebook and whether it be Instagram or Snapchat or TikTok, you know, pretty much they dumbing themselves down, man. And so to be able to have an outlet and in a way where, you know, people can really, you know, just really sit down and become, you know, one with themselves and reflect on things and to be able to look at things outside of the current circumstances or just the regular, you know, repeated cycle of, I hate to say that word, BS. But yeah, man, just to be able to look at things outside of that, man, is not only eye-opening, but it's liberating, bro.
Well, it definitely is a lot of BS. And that's the right term for it. That's the correct term because let me ask you this. With you just coming home And the internet was around before you went in, but it wasn't being utilized in the manner in which it is now. What do you think about the current system?
I think, man, the current system, man, it's a blessing and it's a curse, because you have certain people that live in a lower mind frame, and then you have those who create content that's degraded and degraded, and then you have those who are well learned, who's able to spread the message and open people up to a different way of thinking and be able to inform them. So at the same time, it's a blessing and it's a curse, and it's whatever we give our energy to and whatever energy we take from it. You know, there's an old parable, you know, an Indian said, you know, there's two dogs. And so there's an old Indian parable. And, you know, the Indian was asking a little boy, you know, if you have two dogs and they were to begin the fighting, which one wins? And he said, you know, I don't know which one wins. And so he said, ultimately, it's whichever one you feed the most, whether it's dark or light, positive or negative, whichever dog you feed the most. And so that's how I look at things. So we could look at it with the glass half empty, or we could look at it with the glass half full. It's just two different viewpoints.
Yeah, well, really, the main thing is right now, that's why I always tell our audience people to be open-minded on things, but take stuff with a grain of salt and do your own research.
Exactly, man. And when you have social media sites and you have so many different people competing to create content, you know, that's a good thing, because you know that there's that 1% of people that create content. There's 9% that engage with it. And then there's just 90% who's just consumers of the content. And a lot of people are that 90%. So you have to understand what it is that you're taking in and what it is that you're looking at. Prior to me going to prison, there wasn't no Facebook or Instagram. It was just on the verges, on the precipice of something different, you know. So I come home and it's totally reshaped, you know, the social, you know, status of everything that you look at, whether it be from financial literacy to pop culture to everything that you could think about. Social media has reshaped it on every aspect of life. And so now, you know, me coming home and seeing this, I didn't really understand how powerful of a tool, you know, social media has become. And so a lot of people don't realize, you know, that they're recipients of negative, 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 negative information, and it's feeding them negative, negative information. And then there's other people that's out there that's creating other types of content. So, I mean, at the end of the day, man, you know, it was an eye opener, man. It definitely was an eye opener.
Well, I'm definitely excited about the stuff that me and you have going on, man. I think, you know, we might as well let the cat out the bag. Me and Gorilla Black, we're doing a podcast called Revelations. And it's going to be really a mind-bending journey, and it's going to be to educate and inform people. It's going to be off the chain.
Definitely. I think it's something, man, if, you know, one thing I always wanted to do, man, still, no matter what is, I wanted to be someone who contributed not to the culture, whether it was, you know, through, you know, me doing music or whatever it may be. But I think that on this journey, man, and on this level of, you know, place where I'm at right now mentally, man, I really want to open people's mind up to some different things, man. And I think that with this, man, this platform, man, I think that this is going to be something that where people can go to and they can really learn some things that they previously didn't learn or know. And that's why, you know, we want to call it Revelations, man, because we're going to reveal what was hidden. We're going to open up, you know, a lot of different subjects and a lot of different things that people, you know, from our culture really don't talk about. A lot of things, you know, it's a different thing. We could be inundated with who got the biggest chain or what kind of car he pulled up in. But at the end of the day, life is a lot bigger than a chain and a car. So there's a lot of things. And so when you look at things, man, you know, our history as Black people, You know, the other day we were just having a conversation about Musa Mansa, and we were talking about how this man ruled over the Mali Empire. And, you know, on his travel to Mecca, this man took with him 22 kilograms of gold. This man gave away so much gold that he dropped the price of gold for a whole decade, literally. And this is an African king, a king.
Yeah. So now just think about that, not to cut you off, Black, but 22 kilograms of gold, what would the monetary value of that be today?
Man, billions of dollars, bro, billions of dollars. Imagine the amount, 2,200 kilograms of gold is what he took, to be exact. 2,200 kilograms of gold. So just imagine this. It dropped the prices of gold for a whole decade throughout the world. So this is an African king, man. So we want to talk about some of the things, man, you know, our people have done and what we've done other than just musical, but on the financial level, you know, when, you know, historians look at his wealth, it would be two times the amount of Jeff Bezos. So if Jeff Bezos today is presently worth $197 billion, then Musa Mansa would be easily worth over $400 billion.
So he would be almost halfway to being a trillionaire.
Correct.
Wow. Yeah. And I think that would make him one of the richest individuals in the world, if not the richest.
So, I mean, when we talk about, look at our Black colleges, this man was the first person who started a college in Timbuktu with 25,000 students. And we're not talking about, you know, we're talking about in 1310, 1312, 1314, 15. So just imagine this. This man had so many books amassed in Timbuktu that it doubled the amount of the books that were in Alexandria and Egypt. So, I mean, this is a king, man, that really believed in educating his people on a whole different level and spreading wealth and, you know, and bettering his people, you know. So, yeah, man. Yeah.
That's dope, man. Well, I'm definitely, man, looking forward, man, to giving this what we've created to the people, man. And you guys, we had the first episode of Revelations is dropping in another week or two. So we look forward to giving that to y'all. So we go get into this Compton Menace interview. I'm on you, Black. I appreciate you, brother.
Man, I love you, my man. Definitely. Let's do it.
Love you too, bro. The Compton Menace interview, y'all. It's the Gangsta Chronicles.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises? Or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
What's the word, Menace?
What's up with it?
Oh, man, just chilling, man. Glad to have you on here.
Man, I appreciate you having me, bro.
For sure. So we could go back to the beginning, man, when you was a little kid. How was your childhood, man?
Man, like, I tell niggas all the time, like, even coming up in a neighborhood that I grew up in, like, I was blessed to have, like, the older niggas in my life and shit like that, because I wasn't forced to do a lot of things. I wasn't forced to do no bad shit. I played sports, and they forced me on a good path. I grew up with my parents, you feel me? Pops in and out the house. Moms was on drugs. It's the typical hood shit. So that's what I could say, like, you know.
Oh, really, man? How did that impact you, man, having a mother that was on drugs, that was suffering from drug addiction?
Man, like, I was just raised different. You get what I'm saying? So I didn't really look at it like my mother was a crackhead or nothing. I looked at it just like she had a problem. She was a functioning addict. So it'd be breakfast, lunch, and dinner on the table. The house would be clean. But nighttime, then that's when she, you know, turn and go do what she do. So I didn't ever have, like, a bad feeling about somebody that did drugs. I just felt like it was natural to me, realistically.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you said you played football?
Yeah.
Played Pop Warner and the whole nine?
I started playing, I played Pop Warner. I played Pop Warner for a couple years.
Did you play for Compton Vikings?
Nah. I think it was the Titans at the time.
The Compton Titans?
Yeah, the Titans.
Yeah, that's my boy Earl over there running that program.
Yeah, the Titans. And then I had went to a middle school called the NFL Yet Center. It was sponsored by the NFL. It was right there in Compton on Central and Wilmington, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was a good thing, too, because we got to really meet people that was, like, doing different shit. You get me? So sports was a really big part of my life, no matter what was going on. I always had that team atmosphere. I always, you know.
Between sports and hip hop, man, number one exports of the black community. Yeah. You know,
it helped me a lot. My bad for cutting you up, but even from, like, going to different schools, because the good schools was Crip schools. You feel me? So I had to go to Crip schools too. So just sports helped me build real relationships before it was gang banging on each other and shit like that. And going to the school through the year after that, building a relationship, it wasn't easy for me. You feel me? It wasn't like I had a blood problems against the Crips or nothing like that. They just made sure I was straight and we was a family. You get me? So sports was a big, big thing in my life.
That's dope, man. Now, when did you start getting the hip hop bug? When did you start getting the bug of wanting to rap and MC?
Man, I ain't gonna lie, sports ain't really, I wasn't into, like, school like that. So, I didn't fuck around and I didn't take no SATs and shit like that, so I didn't get to do what I wanted to do. So I was just doing the regular outrageous shit. And I really, it was a dude named, that went to Compton High School, and his name was Michael Hunt, All Red. He was from Cedar Block. And he was real close with the game when they started popping. Mm-hmm. I was a street nigga. I was just, like, really stealing cars at this time and shit like that.
Yeah, you was out doing your shit.
Yeah, and I would call Mike to come, you know, help me out when it's time to, you know, chop them bitches apart. So he run around with Game, and he like, man, my boy Game rapping, like you should come out with us. You feel me? We starting to go out with a lot of niggas. We want a lot of real niggas with us and shit like that. So I'm like, all right, cool. And I was just really a street nigga. I wasn't really into music.
So you wasn't really into it, but you just got around the vibe and started vibing.
Yeah, I got around the vibe, and I got to see, like, damn, like, somebody from the city did this shit, like a gang member did this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I really fell in love with music around 2004.
That's dope, man. And at that time, Chuck was blowing up. Like, he was like the biggest
thing.
He
was the man, yeah.
He was the biggest thing ever. I was in England.
He was the man.
Yeah, I was in the UK at that time, man, traveling back and forth between here and the States.
Hell yeah.
And even over there, he was huge, you know?
Yeah.
So,
facts.
You started doing that. Do you remember the first song you laid down?
Man, Yeah, I do. I think it's called For My Niggas. And it was a good thing because we had recorded that song in I think the same studio that Tupac got shot in mm-hmm. New York.
Yeah.
So just that whole energy and all that shit, that was a cool vibe.
That's crazy, man. So how did the game like respond to you rapping and stuff? Because you didn't lead him on the premise of being a rapper. How did he respond to that?
It was just like laugh, you feel me? Mm-hmm. Like Slim gonna rap. It's like a laugh. It wasn't like a you can't do it type of thing. You feel me? Like, he showed me that he was interested and he gave me that, you know, the courage to push on with it. I can say that.
Oh, for sure. So when did you first know that you was on to something, like as far as being an MC? When did you start like seeing some results from your work?
I would say I always had a good relationship with like Lil Wayne. So when Lil Wayne had Dead Blood Niggas with me, and it was at a time like right before he was going to jail, mm-hmm. and he called me like, "Hey, I'll be in LA. You trying to shoot a video?" I'm like, "Hell yeah."
That's dope.
That was a big thing right there for me at the time, because that was when I first beginning, first trying to learn myself. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that record, man, that like blew up on the underground level. Like that record did good for you.
Yeah, for sure it did. For sure it did. And after that, niggas stopped saying Wayne was a fake blood too, if you notice.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, let's talk about that for a minute, yeah. Man, because I don't know where cats get that from. I'm speaking on cats that they don't know. We was talking about that off air, because when I was in New Orleans, Wayne had a bunch of real niggas with him, dog.
Yeah,
he had a bunch of real blood niggas that was from his turf, that was from his city down there, and he had been claiming that hood for a long time.
Yeah. Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And he's one of the, you know, outside of the gang shit and everything, Wayne is genuinely one of the just better people on this planet.
Man, Wayne a real nigga, bro. He did countless things for me that, you know, half I ain't asked for it, and you know, he's just a good nigga, you feel me? And it ain't about no streets, it ain't about none of that. He's just a good hearted nigga.
Yeah, he is a real good hearted nigga. Yeah. So, you know, and we could bounce on. So you running with Game now during this time, y'all doing your thing.
Mm-hmm.
When did you decide that wasn't for you no more?
What, the street shit?
Like, just as far as like the street shit and everything like that, when did you decide? Like, when did you cut all that loose?
Really, shit. When I got into like, really after I really got into the business of the music, and then I kind of put in my own head that this is set up to be a certain way for us. That's how it's set up for shit to generate. But in the streets, it's still beyond in the streets. You get what I'm saying? But the beef and all that shit sells. You get what I'm saying? So that's why, probably recently, I ain't gonna lie to you. Probably a couple years ago, because I was always still like, I won't say I'm a like a street nigga. I'm not no punk though. You get what I'm saying?
I feel you.
And I ain't gonna like you. I ain't gonna let too much shit that I'm not comfortable with slide. So I just got a different mentality like a couple years ago, I would say, bro. A couple years ago,
you know what, man? It's just maturity, man. As we get older, man, we should be evolving, not, you know, doing the same shit we was doing when we was in our 19 to 20 years old, you know? So you running with Game now. Did you ever officially sign to Black Wall Street?
Nah, it wasn't like that. We was just a movement, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
We were just a movement, a group of real niggas that was moving tough. You know, shit, tour buses, cars, you want to go, we moving.
That's dope,
showing
man.
The world the city, and you know, he gave everybody opportunity to make something of themselves.
Yeah, and it seemed like you was a hustler, man, because I used to see you on the road when I was out there with glasses.
Hell yeah.
And I said, I told G one day, I said, man, that cat go be somebody, man. Yeah, I said, I see him everywhere.
Facts. Well, I think I got that mentality just from the hustle game. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Knowing how to move around with a product. And I kind of took that and used it as the same way. Had to be the right place, the right time. You just had to do it. And that's how I did it. And we took our own money and did that.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah. So you kind of was able to use the Black Wall Street situation as a conduit to get into other places. Like you met Wayne, you met Baby and all those guys through him.
Yeah, I met Wayne for the first time on the road with Game. And I had to use the bathroom. I couldn't find the bathroom. So I just went back to the tour bus. And Wayne getting off his bus, I'm walking by. What's up with it? What's up? What's up? What's up? What you doing? I'm complimenting us. I just hold Game down. I wasn't even rapping at the time. I just hold Game down. Here, take my number. Fuck him if you're in the city. I got you for sure. Then been locked in ever since.
ain't it funny that Wayne just a real nigga like that, dog? Right. Like, and at that time, he was one probably the biggest star on the planet, dog. Right. He was the biggest right. hip-hop star on the planet at this time.
It was crazy to me, like, from watching this nigga, been a fan of him, to, like, right here, calling me, you feel me? So it was kind of like, a couple times he called, I was in the hood, like, oh, Wayne called him, blood, hold up. You get me? Like, it was crazy, good feeling at the time.
And he was just reaching out to you like that. So tell me this right now, because you eventually wound up signing with Cash Money yeah. Records, right? Mm-hmm. And you and Wayne had a really good relationship, and you said that you had signed to Cash Money at a time where Baby and Wayne wasn't yeah. getting along. How was that for you?
Well, just me and all my guys, we fuck with both of them equally. Mm-hmm. You get me? So I really just told everybody, like, just mind your business and stay out of shit.
Yeah.
Because I know once them guys get cool again, they not gonna forget, like, niggas was acting funny and something that they really didn't have nothing to do with. So it'd be like a niggas choosing sides type of shit, like women. And that ain't how we was raised at all. And we love them both, so I just said we're gonna stay out of the way.
That's real man yeah. shit, though. That's Facts. Real man shit. You didn't get involved, nothing, didn't have nothing to do with you.
Facts.
So who approached you? Did Birdman just come up to you one day and say, hey, man, I want you down in this family?
I think I was doing a show. I think I was doing a show with Wiz Khalifa. And Birdman, we walking through passing like the door here, and it's like the hallway area. I'm coming through this way, you coming through that way. We had a little brief conversation. He let me know he wanna fuck with me, gave me his number. And then before I walked out, he looked back like, hey, I'm serious and asked you about that business. I'm like, for sure. Then we linked in. He taught me a lot of shit. He taught me a lot of shit before we even got any business done. He did let me know, like, we need more bosses in this game. Everybody wanna rap, everybody wanna do this, everybody wanna do that, and you know, I'm like, where you at? Where you at with it? I'm telling him, like, I got people that's artists around me that I believe in and shit like this. You know, I'm not a selfish person, so that's kind of the role that I took. You get mm-hmm. me? And he did let me know, like, this love. You feel me? Like, we can take your time with this. So when that business get involved, ain't no love in that business. He let me know that for sure. So I took my time with love. You get what I was saying before I got that business involved.
Yeah, for sure. He just told you some real shit, man, because yeah. in the rap game, it ain't no love. It's a very cool business, dog. It ain't no friendship shit. It ain't, it's all business. It ain't personal at all, my nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So did you officially get down on paper with them?
Yeah, officially signed to Cash Money.
And how long was your tenure over there?
I was only over there for a project. I was only over there for a project, but like, me and Birdman got so close, he taught me how to fucking read paperwork, read contracts, to the point where I had got him a situation. So when they're doing business, he like, bring him a contract, like, here. He like, shit, read it. He said, read it, make sure it's right, bring it back to me so I can sign it. Read that motherfucker for about 2 hours, scribbled on shit. What do this mean? What do this mean? You know, rearrange shit, took it back to him, let him rearrange it. I mean, took it back to the people, let him, you know, recontract it out, took it to him. He said, is it good? I said, yeah, he signed it. You feel me? So that was showing me that he was trying to see where I'm at with it, if I learned, if I'm, you know, growing. But that's the type of pressure he'll put on you if he's teaching you. You feel me?
Yeah, he's a good nigga, dog.
Fact.
He's a good dude, good cat, man. I fuck with Bird, man. So you over there with them, and in the midst of that, you're doing a lot of things. You just in motion. Your career is in motion. You float yeah. and everything. What was your next venture after the Cash Money thing?
This time I had 3% in Spitarello too, the blunts.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I had 3% in that company, and I was I had a job as marketing. Mm-hmm. I had a marketing job for him. So I kind of used that to be able to move around. You feel me? And be able to promote myself and be able to promote what we was doing too. So that's how we was on the road a lot of times too at that time.
That's dope, man. Yeah. You a very intuitive dude, man, for you to to take these situations and spin into a marketing career as well. Because that was that's big, right? They still cracking, ain't they?
Yeah, they still cracking. I think I don't want to say that, but Akram, I think that he had. I think he had to go do some time for some. But you know, but I learned a lot of shit from him too. But my whole thing with that was to, I didn't want no. They give rappers shit. They give rappers shit. You feel me? I didn't want that. I knew what I could do. I knew my relationships. I knew what I could do for the company, and I kind of attacked it like that, and they fucked with it.
That's dope, man. Yeah. That's dope that you took that, that you was able to manipulate these situations in the manner you were, and then you start getting more opportunities. One of those opportunities, you wound up being in a really big movie, the Easy NWA movie.
Facts.
How did that come about?
That came about through. Got a couple of good friends, friends from my neighborhood too. He actually friends with F. Gary Gray. F. Gary Gray told him to reach out to me because he just feel like he want me in a movie. He just liked my energy. And he just see me in the movie and he want to work something out to get me in the movie.
And that's real dope.
Yeah, that was big too. Like I came in with the OG Two Toe name. Most of the dialogue, you know, it was a big thing for me.
That's a real big opportunity, and I don't think people realize that music notoriety is one thing, but when you go on that silver screen, it's a whole nother level
of
fame.
Facts.
It's a whole nother level of fame. How did you deal with it? I bet you have people come up to you every day. OG Two Tone.
Oh, yeah. Like, OG Two Tone definitely is bigger than Compton Menace, for sure. Definitely bigger than Compton Menace. But that's a good thing, too, because even the big celebrities that I look up to and looked up to, that was like, something for them, like gave me my kudos, my cheer. You feel me? That they was in tune into something of my work.
That's real dope, man.
Yeah,
that's real dope. What's the weirdest thing that happened to you, man, on the Hollywood side after you did the movie? Mm-hmm. I know you got some fan stories of somebody that just really believed that you OG Two Tone.
No, niggas believe I'm from Crenshaw Mafia for real. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Niggas believe I'm from Crenshaw Mafia. So I'm not from Crenshaw Mafia. That's got something to do with the copyrights to the name of Crenshaw Mafia. That's why that's always in the movie. So I'm not from Crenshaw Mafia. But I just get a lot of love, bro. I get a lot of love. Ain't nothing like too crazy happen.
That's dope, man. That's real dope because I know a lot of times, man, you'll be surprised at the people that can't differentiate.
Yeah.
You playing a role in a movie versus you being a real actual person.
Yeah. Now I feel you. I feel if somebody else would have played that role, that they would have had different problems.
Yeah.
I feel they would have had different problems. But I feel that role went perfect with my image and what people know of me. So I feel like that's why it was more acceptable.
Well, it was the perfect role for you, man, because it was authentic.
Yeah.
It was authentic, and everybody in L.A. know and love you. I ain't never heard about nobody saying, I don't like Compton Menace, you know what I mean? So I think everybody you get a lot of love from that, because everybody was proud. Like, when I saw it, I was like, that's the homie up there.
Hell yeah, even different Crips and different people from out of town, like, they was happy about it. They was happy to see me in it. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that role right there opened up a lot more opportunities for you, didn't
it? Hell yeah. I got a bunch of shit after that. I did, it's shit that we finna start back working on now that's based on the OG Two Tone role out of that movie. I did Fatale, well, y'all would say Fatal, Hillary Swank, Michael Ealy, Tyler Turner, directed by Deion Taylor. I did Snowfall. Shout out to John Singleton actually. The first time he called me, I didn't know who he was. You feel me? So I'm talking to him, he's telling me he got a movie for me. Mm-hmm. He's telling me I got the part. He think I should go to do some more acting classes and shit like that. I'm like, for sure. I get off the phone with him and I tell my brother Kay, like, I'm like, who is John Singleton?
Only one of the biggest black directors of our time.
My big homie Chili Dub went off for me like, you stupid motherfucker, you don't know who John Singleton is, nigga. This movie. I was like, oh shit. I said, well, shit, he wants us to do a movie.
That's dope, man. And you know what's crazy, man? God is really shining his light on you, bro, because you're getting opportunities that some people have to work years for and they never get them.
Yeah.
But they keep falling into you. So that means you got a call. And I think some people are really chosen to do the things that they do in life.
I think that everybody get the same opportunities, but most people don't. I think most people take pauses and give up.
Yeah.
Before they get to see, you know. And me, I never gave up. I never took a pause. So I feel like that's why, you know, you get to see a lot of good things happen for me.
That's dope, man. Yeah. So let's talk about Compton Minister Man.
Yeah.
You married, you got children, man, right?
Yeah.
And you know this world we living in right now, we living in really crazy and chaotic times, man, right now. What do you think about society in general today, man?
I just think, I don't think nothing changed really. I just think it's, you get to see it more.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I think, you get to see it more. I don't think nothing changed. I think the world was way worse and sneaky years ago.
Think so?
I do.
I think right now, man, like you said, I think we in the day and age, man, where everything is broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got the internet, man, and everybody's on their phone. Like, yeah. I was with my kids the other day, and we sitting up eating dinner, you know. My daughter got her phone out.
Yeah,
my son got his phone out. And I'm like, man, can we put our phones up and just talk? Like let's talk. You know what I mean?
Thanks.
Because I'm guilty of that sometimes. You know, I'll be sitting there. I'll be checking the scores of the game. I might be looking at a football game. And I'm supposed to be out at dinner with my wife, you know. And so I don't learn to put that phone in my pocket, you know.
Yeah. That just happened, too. I had all my kids at the house, except my oldest son. He wasn't there. But I'm caught myself watching a movie with these little motherfuckers. I look around, they all on their phone watching something else.
Ain't that crazy, man?
It's crazy.
Ain't that crazy,
and
man?
And then you got to, because they can see anything on there, so you kind of got to monitor what they're doing, monitor what they're doing. So, yeah, it's crazy. That's another thing I would say that's different right now, because we didn't have no phones. Like, my kids, I get them a phone when they get 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have no phones back then, nigga. We had to be in the house to use the phone. We wasn't even using fucking the phones that you had to put change in like that. We was young, you know.
I remember them days.
Yeah. So that what was so accessible for them to see right now, we didn't get to see that unless, you know, you was just there or you was into that type of shit. So it was kind of a hidden thing, like the homosexual thing. You feel what I'm saying? Like, it's open now, you see more people doing it. Now it's a thing, but it was a lot of homosexuals. It's always been homosexuals around.
Yeah.
Always. You feel me?
Yeah, they always have, and you know, they're a powerful group of people.
Yeah.
They pretty much run Hollywood, you know.
Now it's, they don't have to be, now it's not a bad thing. Before it was a bad thing. Now they say it's not a bad thing.
You know what people saying? Don't have to hide who they are anymore. And I think that's, you know, I mentioned earlier, I'm real big on people living their truth.
Yeah.
Be whoever you are. That's your right as a human being. Just be who you are.
Yeah,
don't front on it, you know, because I have no issues with who somebody chooses to love.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. It don't bother me at all. It don't hold no bearing on what I do as a man. So, you know, we talk about being kids, man, and you being an entertainer. How do you differentiate, like, how do you deal with that with your kids, man? Because your kids may say, well, Dad, you know what? It's almost like one of them things, your daughter or your son is 15, he see you smoking weed every day, and he come up, I want to smoke weed, too. How do you handle those different dynamics, man?
I just be direct with my kids. I be direct with them, like, just because I do it don't mean it's good. You know, I know they're going to probably experiment with different things, and I'm not going to say, like, I'm going to let my kids do drugs or nothing like that, but I want them to be real open with me. I want to know what's going on. I don't want them to be hiding anything from me. So I'm real direct with things like that. They know it's not a good thing.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
They call it the grown-up store when they see the weed shop or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they're not dumb as people think they are. You know, kids are going to be, kids are really smarter than adults are because adults think that they
dumb. Oh, man, you not. Can't pull nothing over on them. They learn faster now.
Exactly.
They learn probably even faster than we do. It's like you said, we didn't have cell phones and all that back then. Now they have cell phones. You can Google anything you want to know. Yeah.
You let your kids curse?
Do I let my kids curse? You know what, man? I don't make as big of a deal of it as I should because to me they're just words. It depends upon it depends on what they're doing. Now, if they come there and call me a motherfucker, we will have some problems. But if I hear my daughter in that room and she say, oh shit, I dropped something, I'm not going to go in there and trip on her. Yeah. Like I'm a grown ass man. I'm old, dog. In fact, my mama still would smack me in my mouth if I say damn in the house. Yeah. You know, so I was raised a certain way and I'm a little bit different with my kids. I think I'm a lot more liberal because like you said, I want my kids to have a relationship with me. I don't want my kids to have to hide shit from me. You know, I want to know what's going on with them guys, man. So, you know, you like you have a certain level of maturity to you now. I noticed because back in the day, you had little issues with people and stuff.
Yeah.
But you was always a cool dude.
Yeah, facts. I was always a cool dude. But, you know, you could put a mouse in a corner and that mouse is going to try to get out that corner.
Oh, for sure.
And that's just nature, period. And that's just a lot of the things that I was put up against.
Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, back in the day, you used to have little disagreements with 40 Glock. I said disagreements. Y'all had a wrestling match. Yeah. Thing I was looking at it one time because I got to give 40 his props. 40 Glock is the original internet nigga.
Yeah.
He had everything he did online. Right. I should trip out on that. Right. He used to walk around with a camera. 40 Glock should be sitting on about $30 million right now, dog. He should be sitting on a whole bunch of money, man. And I heard recently, and this was something that made me feel good because I'm all about unity and peace.
Yeah.
You and 40 Glock made amends.
Yep. Yep. I was in Vegas. You know, we got a spot out there. Shout out to Maserati J. He president of TSF right now. So, you know, shout out to Maserati J and my oldest son out there. So we always in Vegas a lot. So I'm out there with my boy Bob. We in the studio. And 40 Glock is a friend of his. So he like, man, what's up? Y'all niggas need to squash that shit, guys. I'm like, man, call 40 Glock right now. He called him. Chopped it up, squashed it.
That's dope after a conversation, man. Yeah. And that's what I tell people. I say, man, you can't always just assume the worst with people because if you ever actually sit down, we don't do enough of that as black people. Yeah. We don't sit down and have conversations.
Right.
We just assume this dude over here is the op, so I'm bombing on him as soon as I see him. Yeah. And that dude might mess around and be one of your best friends if you actually sit down and have a conversation with him.
He said.
That's crazy, man. Do you ever see any, I don't even know what you and Game's situation was, if it was one.
Yeah.
Do you ever see yourself making amends with Game?
Me and Game don't have a problem.
That's dope to hear.
Me and Game don't have a problem. It's just like, I feel like, like I've grown. Mm-hmm. You get me? Like I'm not, it's not like Game in the Black Wall Street no more, you feel me? Like it's Compton Menace now. So it's like I've did everything I could do with the Black Wall Street and with that, I'm a different entity now. So it's kind of like us coming together doing business now.
That's dope.
That's where we at,
That's dope right there. So you have your own label and everything right now. What's the name of your label?
We got Money Hard Group and we got All Hustle No Feelings.
All Hustle No Feelings, that's dope. How you come up with that?
Well, All Hustle No Feelings, that's a partnership with me and my guy, Miles.
That's real. That's real dope.
And Money Hard Group, that's something we've been standing on since I came in and shit. And it's before me, and it's going to, you know, keep on going after me.
For sure. That's dope, man. How big is your roster?
Man, I got a couple dope artists right now. And we stretched out all over. I think I'm a good talent scout. You feel me? And I got good relationships with the people that's on the roster. And so we got KO, he out of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
We got Mike D'Angelo, he out of DC. We got Sada, Asada, outside of James. She from Cleveland, but she out here right now with us.
Oh, shout out to her. That's my hometown right there. Remember, where's she from, the land?
For sure. Shout out to Cleveland. She dope as a motherfucker, too. We got GS600. He from out here. We got little Timmy Rue, T-Ruler.
Mm-hmm.
He on the roster. And that's it right now.
That's real dope. Yeah. And so, what's your overall vision for the future, man? What do you see you going with all your little different enterprises, man?
Man, I love everything I do realistically, so I'm going to always do it. But my thing is just to create more for other people, you feel me? Like, I love teaching. I love giving opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so me, I'm always, ain't no telling, bro. I can never be, the word that they say successful, I can never be that because I'm always want more. I'm always want a bigger house. I'm always want a new car. I'm always want some more money. You get me? So I can't even tell you where I'm going to be at in 10 years because I can't project that big.
That's the dope thing about it, man. The longer you keep striving and achieving for more, man, it ain't no ceiling to it. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Ain't no successful when you got to get it, do it again, when you could lose it or something like that. You get what I'm saying? So I'm gonna keep going. Whatever come my way, I'm gonna take advantage of it.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, man. I ask a lot of weird questions, so if you get mad, man,
nah, that's all love.
You know, we in a situation right now, man, to where the economy, it bubbled up for a lot of people. You know, everybody was out there they had the unemployment scams going, mm-hmm. they had the PPP loans going and everything, and all that money dried up right now, man. What would you say, man, if you got named to be the president of the United States today, man, what would you do different, man?
Man, y'all don't wanna hear this from me.
Yeah, we do. That's why I ask the question all the time. I'm curious to see what's on your mind.
I would stop a lot of shit. You feel me? Mm. Americans is lazy as a motherfucker. Americans is lazy. I would put more into people having to go out and work and take more out of people being taken care of.
Yeah, because that's what happened with that, you know, the whole thing with the unemployment stuff. You had a whole bunch of people, man, that was getting unemployment, man, that never had real jobs in the first place.
Exactly.
And so it kind of fucked the people up that did have real jobs because they couldn't get their shit, you know what I mean?
Exactly. You got people that got sectionated that don't need it. You got people that's, you know, just people just take advantage of anything that they could get. So I would kind of make it a way to where you really have to, you got to work for it.
I always thought it should be that way, man. And don't get me wrong, I don't want nobody cussing me out there, but yeah. I've always thought that a lot of people, especially our people, we use welfare for a crutch.
Yeah.
You know, you got
everything, child support, welfare, everything that we could get for free, we're going to take advantage of it. That's why people come from different countries and get M's and billions about this motherfucker. Because they have a different mind frame, what they come here for, what they come here to learn, what they come here to get, especially what they come from, that's the difference. We could just get government assistance. We could do this. We don't have that mind frame. We could go to school for free. We could get loans and can't get, you know, loans. We can't get loans for houses. We could get school grants. There's more than houses though. Like, it's backwards for us to be fucked up out here. That's what I would change that.
Well, you know what? The whole premise, like you just said, something, the whole premise of school, I'm a big proponent of education, man, but I also believe that everybody's not meant to go to a four-year university.
Yeah.
You got some dudes that's good with their hands. Maybe we need to bring those programs trade programs back for people that want to be carpenters, for people that want to be plumbers and stuff like that. And that's a big thing of mine, man, because right now you got a lot of people that wind up going to school because that's what their mama and their daddy tell them they want to do. So they wind up going to school, wasting 4 or 5 years and getting in debt on top of that. So now, not only do they not have a degree, or even if they do get the degree, it's some shit that they don't really want to do.
Yeah. That motherfucker just sitting there.
You know what I'm saying? So they just sitting there, and I think we got a big problem, man. And I'm glad to hear you say that because you're younger than me, man. It's a lot of really lazy people out there. It's a lot of lazy motherfuckers out there, dog, that don't want to get up and go to work. They don't want them. They think somebody's supposed to just give them something. I'm pretty sure, you know, speaking on that, I'm going to get to this point right here. How many friends have you lost, man, because they want you to take care of them?
countless. Like, I've had friends, like, really had conversations with me, like, why this working for you, it's not working for me type of shit, you feel me? Like, it's just crazy. So, and in that aspect, I just, you know, Rick Ross saying, instead of beefing with your homies, just give them some distance. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm into. I'm not into being mad at a nigga no more, how they feel or their energy or not. I'm gonna just stay away from them at this point. That's it. That's where I'm at with it.
That's the best thing to do, man, because I tell everybody, man, that's from my sons on up to just my homies. I tell them as soon as they take some money, I say, man, you better learn how to say no.
Yeah.
No is the most powerful word in your vocabulary. Just say no. Don't get no explanation, no reason behind it. You don't have to say my accountant is not allowing me to do this. Just tell the motherfucker no.
It only hurt for a couple minutes to be a real nigga.
And sometimes, I'm going to tell you another secret. You ever had an old nigga tell you could buy a nigga out your life?
Yep.
Sometimes, man, giving the homie that $500,000 or that rack dog, and you don't want to be bothered with that motherfucker no more, going to give him that money. You'll never have to worry about dealing with him again.
Keep it real with him.
You know what I'm saying? So what's next on the horizon, man, for Compton Menace, man? What you got coming up next, dog?
I can't say the album title right now, but we dropping an album. Nice project. West Coast, gonna look like some brand new 90s shit, you feel me, from every aspect, from the clothing to, you know, just all original natural shit.
That's dope. I always think 90s projects, that's the era I came out in. I was a young nigga back then, and I was running the streets, man.
I'm playing some shit for you too before you leave too.
Oh, for sure. I damn sure want to hear it. Hey, yeah. Let me ask you this, man. You being from Compton, who was your favorite rapper coming up?
My favorite rapper coming up? My parents was older, so I was listening to older shit when I was coming up, like Marvin Gaye, Aretha Franklin, all that shit.
That's the good shit though, dog. Yeah,
my dad had a bookie joint. So imagine all the cigarette smoking and newspapers and shit and loud music and drinking going on. I'm running around that motherfucker playing pool or, you know, that was my environment.
So that was your environment. Yeah. You have older parents as a motherfucker. Because I had a step pops, man. I don't know what my mama had going on, man. But he was a good nigga. He actually gave me his last name and everything, Willie Steele.
Yeah, dope.
He was probably like 20 years older than my mama, man. Yeah. 25 years older than my mama. Player nigga rolled around with a cigar on his mouth. Yeah. You know, had a two-piece leisure suit on all the time. I drove a Cadillac, right? And being raised by an older person give you a different perspective on stuff. You know, he was from Mississippi, man. You know what I'm saying? Rest in peace, pops. But man, I appreciate you coming on, dog.
Yeah.
I want to give them some of that good music, man.
I got you.
And you know what I'm saying? Give the people, man, your socials and everything.
Hell yeah. So everything Compton Menace, make sure y'all check it out. Make sure y'all follow OG Two Tone the Movie on Instagram. We're working that right now. Make sure y'all shout out to Bishop Lamont too. Bishop working with me on this project. Shout out to DJ Sill. Shout out to Mouse. Shout out to all the artists that's on it. There's a lot coming, man. Just fuck with us. Fuck with this channel. Let's get it.
Hey, you know what, man? Let me ask you one more question. I got to ask you about this. Now, I know you probably can't talk too much about it.
Yeah.
OG Two Tone, man. Is it going to be a prequel?
It's a series. It's going to be a series. And then we're going to do something big to follow up after that.
That's dope, man. Yeah. Enough said, man. That's dope. I'm going to be checking for that one right there because I always thought your character. I was hoping, like, when I saw your character in that movie, I said, oh, shit, man. Like, this a, you know, an OG Two Tone, I guess, was a person that they just embellished to put in the movie just to have a cool scene, or was it a real person?
I came up with that.
You came up with the whole thing?
Yeah, I came up with that because I felt like it's a dude I know named Too Tall from Bounty Hunters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he a gangster, but he like to. He a gangster, but he could tell a story. You get what I'm saying? And part of telling that story is implementing while you're at action. So, per se, like we walking in my neighborhood when I'm younger, we see some enemies walking by.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we pull out a strap on him or something. And we ain't gonna beat him up, and then we just want to embarrass him, really. Take off your pants and run across the street, nigga, before we shoot you or something. Then we go to the hood, like, yeah, we just saw this bust-ass nigga, made him white, running across the street naked, bitch-ass nigga, this and this, right? So we can all laugh about it, but there's some gangster shit in it, right? That's the type of shit that I would get from Too Tall, you feel me? So that's why I named him Two Tone.
That's dope, man. That's dope, man. That's some crazy ass shit, yeah. Man. Well, we out of here, y'all.
All day. Appreciate y'all. Check it out.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.